Praise God. Hallelujah. Excited to be in church today. I hope you are. You know, as I told you I started a series last week, and at one point my wife told me, stop telling that you're doing a series, because I'd always get partway through a series, and then I would just be like, it'd fall flat, because I'm not typically that type of person. But you know, I break the rules. I'm going to break probably sound advice by saying that. But we're on the second week of that, so we at least have a two-week series. Praise the Lord. And that's very beneficial to us anyways. But, you know, throughout the week, the Lord has been dealing with me on other things as well pertaining to the series and just expanding it. So I believe that we'll at least get another week out of it. Glory to God. But even if we don't, we've been blessed for what we had. But God is doing a thing. Amen. You know, I noticed, I wanted to remind you of the name of the series is Permanent Power Up. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And this is part two, this is part two, continuation of part one, Spirit of Power. Amen. And I thought it was funny because, you know, there's somebody who gets me a tea in the morning to help clear my throat and make sure that I can speak at least most of the service anyways. And this morning I had this mug. I guess we have it. You probably can't see it, but this is Super Mario Bros. What's that? Did she? Praise the Lord. No, it was in there. But there's one scene on here. You can't see it. I could barely see it. And now I can't see it. You know why I can't see it? It's one of those heated mugs that the picture disappears. So in other words, this is a lying mug. But somewhere on here, oh, there's one of the mushrooms. Somewhere on here, there's a Super Mario jumping and getting the star that gives them invincibility. Amen. And that's what we were talking about last week. So you know that's good. Might as well finish that cold tea. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Permanent power up, Spirit of Power. I'm excited for what God has for us today. Amen. You know, as you know, I was looking at my notes and I was like, man, I didn't get very far in last week's message, which is good, because that just means that I have further to go this week. Amen. Praise the Lord. So permanent power up, Spirit of Power. We're talking about this. This is the basis for, this is the base of the whole series is the Spirit of Power. We know we've been given a Spirit of Power. We're going to look at that again. I just want to do a quick reminder of what a power up is. In video games, a power up is an object that adds temporary benefit or extra abilities to the player's character. Amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. And in the same way, the Spirit of Power is the same way for us. He adds extra abilities which you don't have. You know, the Bible tells us that by grace we have been saved, and actually we learn as we study the Word that by grace we do all things. Amen? And it's God's grace working in us. You know, God's grace, how does God's Word change us? Well, by His grace it changes us and makes us better. Hallelujah. And that grace literally is ability that you didn't have before. That's all grace really is. It's God's ability placed on you that you didn't have before. You didn't earn it, you didn't deserve it, but it's there for you to access if you so choose to. So it's a power up, in other words. Amen. Grace is a power up. And we've been given the Spirit of grace, which the Holy Spirit is called at times. But we also know that He's called the Spirit of Power, Spirit of, you know, there's different ways of referring to the Holy Spirit. We know that He is a person. We know that He's not just a spirit, a ghost, or something, you know, an idea, or like the wind, but He is actually one part of three parts of God. Hallelujah. And so, we get excited about that, but we need to understand the Spirit, because the Spirit, although we are saved by the blood of Jesus, it's God's Spirit that works in us to affect God's will in our lives. It's God's Spirit who continually helps us as we walk out this Christian life. You know, is there anybody who's faced anything this week? Praise the Lord. And if you haven't faced anything this week, you probably have in recent times. Amen. And so what separates us from God's, or what separates us from the world when it comes to facing something? Well, the Bible doesn't promise we won't face anything. In fact, we know we'll have trials. But what the Bible does promise us is that God has placed something on the inside of us that if we tap into it, it will help us and it will keep us going. Praise the Lord. This is what separates us from the world. Amen. This is what makes God's word work in us. So let's go to turn to our key text, which is in 2 Timothy 1:7. This is kind of the basis for, that we're going to for this set of services. Glory to God. 2 Timothy 1:7. Praise the Lord. I love this scripture here. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity." If you have another translation, it probably says a spirit of fear. But that is just as accurate. I like this because it takes it a little bit further. "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline." Or some translations also say a sound mind. Discipline being the same thing. This is what God has put on the inside of us. But how many know that just because you become a Christian doesn't necessarily mean that you feel like you have power? Doesn't necessarily feel like you have love? Doesn't necessarily feel like you have discipline or a sound mind? Glory to God. We understand that even though that it's put on the inside of us, we still have to interact with it. Right. Amen. You know, I've said this kind of before, and in this line, you know, you can lay in bed in the morning and you can think to yourself all day long that your legs got to move, that your arms got to move, but unless you move them, they aren't going to be active. The ability's there, the power's there. You know, you can have I remember when I was in grade school, we had the strongest man in the world was a local guy. Does anyone remember that? Don, I think his name was Don Reinhardt or something like that. The guy could tear phone books in half and he could bend bars around things. And he had like an extraordinarily tough jaw. He was like really able to do things with his jaw. I think he could chew through nails or something like that. I think he pulled a nail out of a board. He did this because he used to come to our schools in grade school and stuff like that. Amen. But even him, even when in the midst of his being the strongest man in the world, he would lay in bed in the morning and he still had to decide whether he was going to get up. He couldn't, it wasn't just going to happen. Well, so often we, for some reason, Christians will look at the power of God, we'll look at the things of God like they're just going to happen. That this life is just, you're just going to feel okay. I'm just going to feel peace, or I'm just going to feel like I'm able. No, you're never going to feel that way because your flesh is still your flesh. Yeah. It hasn't changed. The whole thing matters in how you decide or what you decide you're going to do with it. Am I going to access the power? Now, I'm going to tell you something, and this might be a little bit, this might sound a little bit harsh, but it's the truth. I still find, and I include myself in this, that when we go through trial or when we start to go through trial, our first thought is to run for the hills, to break away from the truth of the word and just be like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. We have the freak out moment. Amen. The freak out moment is okay as long as it doesn't last. Amen. We all have a freak out moment. I'll even say this. I'll go so far as to say this. Even Jesus had a freak out moment. I know that sounds like blasphemous, but if you look at the garden, that's really what that was. When he said, Lord, if there's any way to let this cup pass from me, that's a freak out moment. When he was sweating great drops of blood, that's the freak out moment. You know what it feels like. You might even check your forehead to see if there was blood coming out of your pores, right? Amen. You're with me today. Glory to God. And so you know that there's times where you've had the freak out moment. What you do with the freak out moment is all that matters. Yeah. It doesn't matter that you have it. It doesn't make you less of a human, less of a Christian. It actually makes you real human if you have that. Amen. You're not superhuman. You're a real human. Amen. Praise God. So we all have those moments, but what do we do with those moments? There's a place, and if you've called us or you've contacted us in a moment of trial or distress and you know you've been kind of bent and we talk you down off the ledge, that's okay. That's what we're here for. That's what we do. That's what our job is. Amen. And we appreciate being able to do that. We appreciate when people will reach out to us. But that doesn't change the fact that at that moment when you're talked down, you have to decide what you're going to do with it. You have to decide, am I going to go on in faith or am I going to be moved from this trial? Amen? Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Now, the thing we know about trials is that trials are always, or typically trials that bother us or a lot of the time are trials that are brought on or caused by other people. And I'm going to remind you of one truth. You can't change other people. And so if you're moved by what other people do, well, then you're just not exhibiting your faith very good. Because we shouldn't be moved by what other people do. What other people do is what other people do. That does not change what we're going to do. Sometimes it does influence or affect us, but we deal with the effect as ones who are victorious because we are victorious. Because we are the people, the children of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. And if you're not a child of God, I'm just here to tell you, we can help you get there too. And it's not hard, and we'll give you a chance by the end of the service. Amen? Praise the Lord. So God has given us a spirit of power, and that's really where our focus is in this part. What is a spirit of power? Amen? We know that the power is to accomplish God's will, to do the things that He's called us to do. Amen? It's not to jump over buildings in a single bound. It's not to stop speeding trains or speeding bullets or anything else. It's not to, you know, pull nails out of boards. If you can do that, great. But if you can't, well, that's just fine. Don't look at yourself as anything less. But God has given us very real power. And that power really is the power to be able to witness to the world. That power is to take it to the world, to do things that we couldn't do before, to take the truth of who God is to the world. That is the most important thing to do for a Christian. Amen? And we are all called to do that. So it doesn't matter where you came from. Praise the Lord. Now, we are going to skip over what little I got into last week and get off into the new for this week. Amen? Praise the Lord. So go ahead and turn with me to Acts 1. Amen. I even love the names of some of the books of the Bible. You know, Acts is not, of course, it's not a thing you chop a tree down with. Amen. It's not something you go to battle with. Praise the Lord. But it is, Doug, we don't appreciate your lack of enthusiasm. You're supposed to support the pastoral jokes. Yeah, praise the Lord. He's just trying to make them better, that's all. He's holding me to a higher standard. Praise God, hallelujah. Acts 1:8, but that Acts, what happened with the early church, amen? Glory to God, I love what this, you know, I talk about the different people that I listen to. This one that I've been listening to, one of the things that he said that is really beautiful, I think, is he's like, Acts, the book of Acts just kind of stops, or just kind of drops off. It doesn't stop. It doesn't have a ending like a lot of the books of the Bible do, which tells us that the Acts were supposed to continue, and that's really a truth. Now, is it going to look exactly like this? Well, I would say that it could look exactly like it did in the book of Acts. It just depends on how much we connect to it and how much we do what they did. Yeah. Amen? How much we embrace the spirit of power. Glory to God. When Jesus was talking about the Holy Ghost, when he was sitting with his disciples, he said this in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Amen. And so we know that that Jesus was talking about the very power of the Holy Spirit here, and he said what it was to do. You know, a lot of people look at the power of the Holy Ghost as, it gives me some kind of a magical power, healing power. It gives me some kind of power to prophesy or to lay hands on people and they'll fall over and stuff like that. And although all those things could be something that happens, that's not what the power of God is for. That's not what it was meant for. It's meant to be witnesses because that's what we're called to do. I've said this many times, and it's just the truth, that if God didn't need us or want us here to do something, he would have instantly whisked us away once we were saved. There would be no reason for us to stay if there was no other reason. But he wanted us to partake in that plan of salvation, which was to take the gospel to other people. How do we know that? We know that because that's what he left the disciples with, and that's what he left us with. Our job as Christians is to be here and not just prosper, but our job is to be here and take what God has given us to the world. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Praise the world, Lord. Praise the world. Praise the Lord, glory to God. What'd you put in that tea, Alyssa? Yeah. I thought it was a little extra minty today. There was something funny about it. Praise the Lord, glory to God. So we're supposed to take that power to the world. We're supposed to exhibit Jesus to the world. We're supposed to be witnesses of him. Amen. We're supposed to testify of him and what he's done and what he will do. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's so many denominations that just leave off. And they say, well, like, you know, Jesus did all these things and just left it here. I just have a hard time believing that. And I'll tell you why I have a hard time believing that. Because all throughout history, if you read all through the Bible, these people will believe that God did all these miraculous things. He did all these things in power. He did all these things, these sometimes crazy things like splitting the Red Sea and people in the belly of a fish and all these, you know, different things like that, making it rain for 40 days and 40 nights, creating a big flood. And was that right? It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. But Noah was on the ark longer than 40 days and 40 nights. Praise God. Hallelujah. So there's been all these things. We see all the power of God from Genesis all the way through the book of Acts. And even we see it in the epistles. We see the epistles, which are the books after the book of Acts. And then we even see it in the book of Revelation. But for somehow, some people only believe that the power of God, the miracle working power of God, was only active from the beginning up until the end of the book got written. And then from the time everybody, the end starts happening until the very end. But for some reason, this short period of time, people don't want to believe in the power of God. That kind of seems foolish, especially when we're told things like, hey, God doesn't change. Right. Praise the Lord. In fact, one place in the Bible, he says, I am the Lord, I do not change, or I change not, depending on what version you read. And what does that mean? He doesn't change. And so it would only, I can only imagine, but we are in the age of faith. We're in an age where we receive by faith. And we understand that the things that God wants to do, he does through faith. In fact, the whole chapter 11 of Hebrews talks about what they did in faith and what we should do because of faith. And actually, if you go back to chapter 10 of Hebrews, it talks about the same thing. And it says, don't draw away. So we know that God still wants to do. Yes, God still is real. Amen. One of the problems with the world is they look at Christians and they think, well, Christians, they just believe that because someone told them that and they're just gullible, so they're just going to believe that stuff. And I'm going to tell you the truth. There's a lot of Christians that's exactly what they are. They're gullible. Yeah. They're gullible believing right. And that's not necessarily good. Why? Because you need to know. The Bible tells us that we should know. There are things that we should understand about God. There's things that we should understand about his power. So if we're going to live this life, we might as well not just be gullible idiots. We might as well do what God has made us to be, praise the Lord, full of knowledge with transformed minds, and to walk through this life with power and victory. Glory to God. Well, hallelujah. And so, I have found this in my life. I couldn't do anything in my life right. It was like everything I did failed. Everything I did was wrong until I had a real encounter with Jesus. And when I mean a real encounter in Jesus, I don't mean a physical, like, you know, a manifestation of Jesus, although I have had one of those. But that's not the thing that changed my life. That helped me see something, but it didn't change my life. Amen. Praise the Lord. What changed my life is when God's word got on the inside of me and started shaking things up. It started shaking my thinking up. It had me started, you know, I started looking at things a little bit differently. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you know that I would lose, if I was the same me as I was before, most of you wouldn't be here because you wouldn't like me. I was just saying you wouldn't like me. I was a pretty good guy before, I think, generally, but I had my opinions, and my opinion was that I didn't like most people. And I let most people know that I didn't like them. And what happens when somebody lets you know that they don't like you? Generally speaking, you walk away from them. Why would you want to be around somebody who doesn't like you, right? But that's the way that I live my life. I live that way, and that wasn't a real effective way of living. But, you know, God has put a heart in me to look at things differently. That's the power that he's talking about. That's the love that that Spirit has given me. And that's exactly what God has called to do in all of us. But he wants us to be witnesses. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's not the specific manifestation of power that matters. It's the one which God directs. So if we look at the power of God, you know, when you look at the power of God, let's just take Jesus' life, for example. We can look at that and we can see most people wouldn't deny that that's the power of God when Jesus walked on water. It wasn't that he walked on water that mattered. It's that he walked on water when he was directed to that mattered. You know, when Jesus opened the eyes of the blind, it wasn't that he opened the eyes of the blind that mattered. It was that he did it when he was directed to. And so this is why we must be acquainted with the spirit of power, because if we're not acquainted with the spirit of power, if we don't know how to know God's power, if we don't know how to hear from him, then when we go through this life, we're not going to know what to do. And listen, there's a lot of situations in your life that you're just not going to be able to do anything about by yourself. A lot of situations. Have you learned that yet?
Yeah.
Amen. And we know that God's plan and God's purpose is for us to experience that and know that. I love the fact that God changed my life. The fact that I stand before you. I say this every week, but it's the truth. The fact that I can bring a message to people, that I can speak for an hour without completely choking up and being all like, I don't mean choking up crying, I mean choking on my own tongue. You know what I mean? I mean, sometimes I flub a word a little bit here or there, or maybe say praise God too much or something like that. But I'm telling you what, before Jesus, I couldn't even talk in front of a group of people.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so this is what God does. You know, I say this too all the time. If you look at my notes, most of what I speak on is not, it's not even written down. I have scriptures written down, maybe a few key points, and you know when I'm reading because I'm looking down actually reading it. Praise the Lord. But if I'm up dancing around or doing whatever I do, that's all coming from spirit. That's the power of God. That's the power of God manifesting in a life that wasn't ready for it, wasn't able for it, but God did it anyways. Amen. Praise God. All I have to do is recognize it and be willing to flow with it. Now, just before you think that I'm bragging on me, I'm not bragging on me because it has nothing to do with me. It's completely separate from me. And here's the good news. God's power is completely separate from you. It doesn't matter who you are, where you came from, what your background is. None of those things matters to God. I love that the Bible tells us that in Christ there is no Jew nor Greek. What does it mean? It doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter what country you were raised in. It doesn't matter what your background. He said there's neither male nor female. What does that mean? It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. He'll use you just the same. Praise the Lord. God will use you for his purpose, whatever purpose that has. And some people, you know, some people want to argue different purposes for men and women. I believe that there are different purposes for people. But I'm going to tell you right now, the only purpose that matters for you is the one which God calls you to. Praise the Lord. And if you are convinced, if you know with all your heart, you've taken the time to seek God and you find out what his purpose is in your life, it doesn't really matter what other people think about it. Praise God. That deserved a little bit bigger of an amen. Amen, Pastor. That was good. Good preaching. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's how we do around here. Why do we encourage that? Because we want group participation. Church has got to stop being a spectator sport. You don't just show up to listen to me. You show up to get something good and go out there in the world and do something with it. But I love what Pastor Ruby Ramos said. She said, if you won't praise in here, you won't praise out there. She said, church is where you practice. That's what she said. So that's how you practice life. And that's what she was essentially saying. If you ain't going to praise in here, you won't praise out there. If you won't stand strong, if you won't come here in faith, you won't be in faith out there. So what do? You come in here and you practice what you're going to do out there. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good. He loves us so much that he's given us power, he's given us love, he's given us a sound mind, he's given us discipline, the ability to be disciplined. Why do people not seem to have these things sometimes? It's because they don't recognize it. They won't recognize it. Amen.
Yeah.
You know, I think my wife and I were just talking about something specific, and I was talking about how I've learned that I just have to go to God and literally go sometimes to him in things that I don't have much faith in. Like when it's something I got to change in myself and I have no ability, I have no ability with myself. I know, because you know full well, you just find the thing that's hard for you to do and imagine that God wants you to do it. And you know that it's not going to make it any easier. So what do we do in those circumstances? We turn to the Lord and we say, Lord, I trust you. I trust you to work this in me. We start taking it to him. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, you will make a lot better decisions in life when you make them from a place of trust, a trust in God. You know, if we can, God can be glorified in what we do, well, that's a good thing to start with. But if he can't be glorified in it, then you need to question whether you need to be doing it. Praise the Lord. There can be a lot of distractions. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, I know there's something that's in my heart and I don't know how to bridge the gap from where I'm at to where we need to go with that. So I'm going to trust God to get us there. Amen. So by the end of the service, maybe we'll get there. But I believe God for these types of things. When I step into the pulpit, I trust God for the ministry that he's put me in. Amen. But what is that to you? That's an example to you to trust God in the ministry that he's put you in. And you might be sitting there saying, well, I don't think God's put me in a ministry. That's not my fault, and that's not God's fault. That's your fault. You got to find out what God has called you to, because we're all called to something. That doesn't mean, when I say ministry, don't think that you got to be a pastor or that you got to be a preacher, although we all are all going to preach to a degree, amen? But doesn't mean that we're all going to stand in front of a church and do that. But you need to know what God has called you to and then fulfill that call, amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Mark 16. Mark 16. Power for what? What do we have the power for? If our focus of our lives is not to get as many people to Christ as we can, not to share, if our focus in life is not is something other than sharing the wonderful things that God has done with us, we're sorely, sorely missing God's plan. And this has got to be something that is important to all Christians. It is so important. Now, you know, there's lots of people that do this. There's lots of people, there's lots of religions that do this. There's religions that share the untruth better than we share the truth. Yeah. And that's dangerous. Why? Because people are deceived. There's people out there, do you know why there's so many people? You look at the world and you think, this is craziness. My wife shared one with me today that is absolutely disgusting that's happening in this world. It's one of those trends that are becoming a thing. And I'm not even going to go into what it is, just for the sake of young ears, but it's a trend that's becoming a thing. And the way that they do it is first they get it out there and make it popular. People start saying it. And maybe at first when something is said, it's even rejected. I've watched this in just the last few years. That at first when something is said, everybody's rejecting it, saying there's no way. And then all of a sudden there's acceptance, because people are hearing it all the time, and then they start accepting it, and they start embracing it as truth, and then they start changing the way that they're thinking, because they've accepted it. Okay, maybe this could be this way. That's the way the Word of God gets manipulated. That's how it gets manipulated all the time, because people start saying, well, maybe what God meant was this. You know, if you didn't listen to last night's message, you should, because it would help you. And Corey, but I don't know, can we listen to it still on Facebook? You can listen to it, amen? Well, I did record it. We can kind of do that at some point. But last night's message, there was a lot of unction on that, and we help for us to understand about the way that we think, and it's not the way that we think that matters. You know, I talked about my way or the highway living, and that's just not a good way to live. And I know as a guy, it's a real easy thing to embrace, but it's also a very wrong thing to embrace. Amen. It's not about the way that you want to do things. It's about the way God wants to. And that's why there's so many disagreements with the Word. Now, where I try to keep myself, just so you know, I'm not going to be perfect in everything that I know or teach or anything like that. But where I try to keep myself is open enough to the Word that I can always be changed by the Word if somebody presents it to me in a way that's understandable. You know what I'm saying? So even if you don't agree with something that I've said, you know, you're welcome to bring it to me, not during a service, but after a service or whatever. You're welcome to bring it to me and ask me about it. And if you have a knowledge of it being different, then praise the Lord, present it to me. But you better be presenting it to me with Scripture. Yeah. Praise the Lord, because I'm not changed by what people think about the Word. And what I've found is the discrepancies in people, in Christians, always lies in one place, and that's their opinion of what the Word says, not what the Word actually says. Amen? That's why I'm a stickler for these things. And sometimes I even look at the things that I've maybe said before and like, oh, I could tweak that a little bit. Well, you might be sitting there thinking, well, how can we believe anything then? Well, we can, because God doesn't need us to be perfect to get us there. Obviously, people have gotten saved in this church. Obviously, people have gotten healed. People have gotten helped. And if you don't believe any of that, just start asking around. Yeah. It's happened. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Is that been by our abilities? Nope, not by our ability whatsoever. It's by that power of God. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. And we're thankful for that. Amen. Praise Jesus. Mark 16:15. And he said to them, that's Jesus in case you were wondering. Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. This is what we commonly refer to as the Great Commission. Yeah. Amen? Go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. To go literally means to pursue the journey on which one has entered. So when Jesus says go, he's saying pursue this journey which you've entered into. Christianity is a journey that we all enter into when we accept Jesus. It's that journey to heaven. That's the place. That's our ultimate goal, to be with God, to be in his eternal glory, to be not separated from him anymore. But that is the ultimate place. And so we are to pursue that journey. We are to go into the world and pursue that journey. This is really interesting. The reason that we are left here, the reason that we are purposed here, is so that we would pursue that journey, which is taking the word to people, taking the truth to people. Amen? Praise the Lord. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Praise God. To accompany means to follow after. So to follow after one as to be always by at his side. To follow close. To accompany. Or a metaphor, to always be present. And so what does this mean? Does this mean that all of these things, that every time you activate, you try to activate them, you're going to do them? That's not what this means. There's this, I don't know, this meme or something somewhere. It was a, I don't even know if it was serious, but it was this woman that was, she was, I think she was on a game show or something, and she started singing, Holy Spirit, activate. That's just lame. Like, don't see, like, you're not, it's like the Holy Spirit isn't like a button or a switch that you flip, and then all of a sudden, he's just activated according to the way that you want to activate. You know, the Holy Spirit lives within us. You understand that the Holy Spirit is not something you activate. The Holy Spirit is someone you participate with. It's someone you yield yourself to. There's this kind of this thought in Christianity sometimes, especially our circles, they're like, well, the Holy Spirit, like when he, like, you know, that he is, that you're going to move him somehow, or you're going to make him do something. But that's foolishness. That's not, God does not bend and yield to you. That is spiritual pride, and if you believe that, you're in spiritual pride. And if you don't believe me, well, I'm sorry about that, but you are. And if you don't like that, I'm sorry about that, but it's the truth. And so that's it is not about what we think that we got. Amen. It's about learning to yield. The most important word that any Christian can learn. Are you ready? Yeah. Praise the Lord. This isn't in the notes. Submission. Submission. The Bible says it gives us no room for anything other than submission. Right. Complete submission. Yeah. Submission to each other. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Submission to God. And I'm just going to give you a little hint on something. If you can't submit to your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, you cannot submit to God. Yeah. If you cannot submit to your spouse, you are going to have a hard time submitting to God. If you cannot submit to the things that God wants to do, you're going to have a hard time submitting to his blessing. You're going to have a hard time submitting to the things that will bring you blessing. Do you know that God's blessing, a lot of times, I don't want to say all the time because I don't know all the time, but I've seen it most of the time anyways, that God's blessing comes on the back of something very difficult. I said God's blessing comes on the back of something very difficult. See, you want God's blessing in your life. You want to be able to get down on your knees and pray to God and have it just show up like a magic trick. But God is not a magician. He's real. How does God bring blessing into your life? By obedience, by submission. When you do the word, praise God. When you do the word, praise the Lord, then you'll be helped. Then you'll get your answer. Then you'll see your blessing. But if you refuse, you know, there was this idea, and it really was, it was revelation to me as I was writing that recent faith fix. Praise God. But what keeps people from sinning? What keeps you from sinning? You have a hard time. Maybe you have a hard time with sinning. Maybe there's a sin you're always caught up in. You know what the problem is? You don't think about it right. You don't think about what sin is. You think about the fact that you enjoy it. That's why you keep going back to it. You don't think about the consequences of it. See, the thing that will keep people from sinning is when they realize there's consequences from sinning. I'm onto something good here. I don't know if you know that or not, but and it, again, it's not me. It's I believe it's the Lord. Praise God, because the devil isn't going to teach us how not to sin. Just truth, amen. But you have to. What will keep you from sinning is the knowledge. When I sin, when I do that thing, it's not that God punishes you, because God isn't trying to punish you. Do you realize that? Sin and the effects of sin are not about punishment from God. That's not what it's for. Do you know that nobody is in hell because they're imperfect? People are in hell because they rejected Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not because they sinned. It's because they rejected Jesus. In fact, if you understand who you are before Christ, you are sin. You embody sin. That's what you are. You can't. So you have to receive the Savior in order to keep you from going there, because that's where you're already going. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So what will keep you from sinning? You're struggling with sin? The knowledge that when I do this thing, there's pain and suffering at the end of it. Yeah. That will keep you from doing it. Yeah. What will keep you from, what keeps me, I've told you a million times, what keeps me after God's plan and trying to live right? The knowledge that if I don't, my family won't. That's pretty simple right there. Do you know how many parents I've looked at in the world and I thought, and I've tried to preach to them and they don't want to hear the gospel, and I've looked at them and I've thought the same thing every time. And of course, in the world, you can't just say this to everyone. But I've looked at parents and I've thought, if you realize that your actions will send your child to hell, you'd be acting a lot differently about God. You'd be looking into this thing a little bit more. See, a lot of people just want to reject it. They don't want to hear anything about it. But do you realize that our actions will affect other people? How about this? The next time you want to sin, if you think, well, the loved ones that I'm around, if I go ahead and do this, this could keep somebody else from entering the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord. You'll look at sin differently. Now, it's not going to say that sin is just going to be whisked away from you and there's not going to be a battle, of course, but there will at least be something in your corner to help you with that battle. What keeps me from, you know, listen, I used to be a heavy, heavy, heavy pot smoker. That was marijuana, whatever you want to call it. That was my thing. I loved it. I embraced it. I mixed it with all kinds of other stuff, but that's what I love to do. There's times where in my flesh, guess what? I smell it, and guess I never hated the smell of it. I'm going to be real, real with you right now. You realize your pastor enjoys the smell of marijuana? Can I say that even? I just did. When I smell it, the first desire in my flesh is to go have a hit, to go partake. And you know, there was even a brief second, a split second, when New York passed that law that said that we can do it now. There was a brief second where I was like, "Well, that's what we've been waiting for." But this is what I know. The effects of that drug are disastrous. So why didn't I partake of it? Because it's disastrous. You know, the Bible tells you that sin is enjoyable for a time. What does that mean? It means that sin will be enjoyed for a time. But there is a season where sin has a manifestation and it brings forth something you don't like. Husbands and wives, if you're being tempted with adultery, you know, maybe you've been with your spouse for years and years and years, and there's a draw to somebody else, somebody younger, maybe even a little bit better looking comes around you. And there's nobody better looking than my wife, by the way, but I'm just going to throw that out there. And I do tell myself that, absolutely, and I keep myself in that place. Why? Because I'm not going to get distracted by someone else. I ain't going to be pulled away by someone else. How do you not? You start speaking to those stupid thoughts. Amen. But anyway, but a husband and wife, you'll be drawn away. Maybe there'll be someone younger, somebody, you know, with more money, someone offering you something. But you know that the end of that is not something you want to deal with. You don't want to deal with a divorce, a messy divorce. You don't want to deal with the trial that comes with that. Or maybe you don't want to deal with certain diseases that you can get from doing those things. Well, guess what? When you hop around, that's the end of that. So don't come crying to God when you've done what you know He said not to do and you're facing the effects of that. God, listen, God will... I just stepped into something. I felt it right there. Praise God. I'm glad I went this way. Now I'm going to come back this way. People mistake, Christians mistake forgiveness and consequence. God will forgive anything. Yeah. Do you realize there's nothing you can do that God won't forgive? Yeah. But that doesn't mean there won't be consequences. Right. Yeah. And the consequences are not God-given. God told us what to do and what not to do because he knew what consequences do. He knows what happens when you sin. See, sin is not a matter of it just makes God mad. God knows. Sin is a manipulation of our minds to do things that cause destruction upon ourselves. That's what sin is. Sin is not this, is just this thing that God came up with this list of rules and said, oh, I think they'd like this, so we take that off the docket. And I think these people, oh yeah, you know what? Americans, they're gonna love this, so that's sin. That's not what God was doing. That's foolishness. And so many people think of it that way. Do you realize God tells you not to sin because sin bites you hard and you don't like it, and he tells you not? This is the same thing, the same reason a pastor will preach why not to do certain things. I was getting nervous for a minute because I didn't think I'd make it to the end of the service. I didn't think I'd have enough scriptures to get through. And praise God, hallelujah. Here we are. We're getting through. We might have to go into week three. No, we won't go to week three with this, but praise the Lord. Sin is a distraction from the blessings of God. It's a thing. It's a manipulation of the human mind to get you to do things that cause death in your life. So what I say this all the time, and I'm just going to say this again. If there's anyone who smokes in here, this is not to come down on you. You're not going to hell for smoking. But listen, if you smoke, knowing, even without knowing, but if you know, we know what happens from smoking. This is the reason, again, you want to go back to something else. I smell somebody light up a cigarette, and the first thing I want to be is like, you got another one? Yeah. I love that. I didn't quit smoking because I wanted to quit smoking. I quit smoking because at 28 years old, I couldn't make it all the way up a flight of stairs without going, and I started realizing this isn't doing my body very good. So is it a sin? Yeah, it's probably, it's not a sin that'll take you to hell. I fully believe that. But what I am saying about it is this. If you partake of that, you can't be surprised if you get lung cancer. Right. You can't be surprised if some other kind of cancer, because we know smoking does that. And so my point in saying this thing is not that you need to, you know, but people so often, what my point is that people so often are doing things that cause destruction, and then they go sit there and go, well, God, why me? No, not God, why you? Why you? Because you did. God didn't do anything to you. It's your, yes, you have to take responsibility. And that's one thing that has been lost in the church. And this is where the power of God is lost in the church, because personal responsibility has been thrown out the window. You just do you, do whatever you want to do. That's a fine teaching. You can teach people to do that. But then you get the world that we have right now. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now that the world is not in chaos because Christians are so mean and nasty. The world is in chaos because there's been a prevalent teaching in the world of just doing whatever makes you feel good. If it makes you feel good, it's okay. And that's the problem. Yeah. We have to understand that not every thought we have is okay. And if you sit there thinking that most of your thoughts are good, you're mostly deceived. Yeah. Why? Because you have to understand that most of your thoughts in your human mind can be manipulated by all kinds of things. And if you don't understand that, you'll be deceived. Yeah. I consider that most of the things I think could be wrong at any given moment. What do I do with that? How do I live? How do I go on? I'll tell you how I do. I submit it to God. Yeah. If it's a thought that's anything above tying my shoe, I just look to the Lord. I look to the Word and say, hey, is this something that is a good thought or not? And actually, to tell you the truth, if you start putting life to practice with Scripture, you don't even need to consciously think about it. You just know certain things. Yeah. You'll go to do something and be like, oh, no, I don't think so. Yeah. It's that easy. It's not like this constant, I don't know what to do. I live the most peaceful life I've ever lived, and I live it because I live it by the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. And what am I trying to do as I live? I'm trying to activate, get into that power more readily. I said activate as a, you know, reference to what I was saying before. But I try to get into that. I try to yield myself to that more. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Submission. All that because of submission. Amen. So, you know, we don't have to have a snake pit where we take up serpents, and we don't have to have a, you know, a poison shelf that says, please touch. Glory to God. You know, that's not what we're doing. We're not trying to prove our faith in that. Because this is not what these scriptures are saying. These scriptures are not telling you that. Do you know Jesus didn't heal everyone who was sick? Everyone he laid hands on was healed, but he didn't lay hands on everyone. That should teach us something. Do you know that, when was it Peter and James or Peter and John were walking into the temple and they saw the lame man. And it said that he looked at him intently. That Peter looked at him intently. There was, you know what that's telling us? That he was drawn by the Spirit to this man. And when he was drawn by the Spirit to this man, he went up to him and he said, the guy was begging for money. He said, the silver and gold I don't have, but he said, what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Glory to God. Led by the Spirit, affected in the Spirit. Yeah. That's the power of God. Yeah. But see, he wasn't going around. Do you think that that was the only beggar outside the temple? Certainly not. When Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda, yeah, it was a pool where people were gathered around, so many people that there was masses of people. Jesus went to one man. Yeah. One man. Praise God. Now, that's a whole nother teaching for another day. Why would Jesus only go to one? Because there's some people that can't be healed, and there's different reasons for that. There's some people that can't be blessed in certain ways because of certain reasons. There are a lot of reasons why things don't happen. Glory to God. There are one reason why. Now, everybody has potential to get there, but not everybody will produce that potential. Amen? Glory to God. It isn't that you have to be a missionary, but that you see life as a mission. Yeah. Many acts that were done were carried out as Jesus or the disciples went. Amen? They weren't carried out, they didn't have a plan. Well, we're going to go here and cast the demon out of the madman in Gadara. Yeah. They crossed the water because they were led by the Spirit of God. This is where they needed to go. And then when they were confronted with it, they dealt with it. But they dealt with it in faith and with understanding and with the power of God. And that's exactly what Jesus was teaching them. And that's exactly what he was teaching us. Do you realize that you're not going to, if you're waiting for the sick to come lining up at your door so you can lay hands on them and heal, it's not going to happen. But if you understand that the way of the power of God works is that maybe you will just live in expectation that you are living life on a mission. And that maybe you'll be in Walmart someday and all of a sudden you'll see somebody and the Lord will say, go and pray for that person. You know, I love, we have an example of someone in our Corey church who was led to go downtown in Corey, which is exactly what we've been preaching. Go out into the world, get to know people, amen? And this person was drawn back to the store, kept getting drawn back to the store in the Spirit. And they were coming up with all kinds of reasons why they didn't want to go there, but finally they did. And they were in there, I think they were even in there, and then they left and they were drawn to go back. And when they went back, or when they went there, whatever, they literally said to the person, now think about this, this is awesome boldness. They said to the person, I know this sounds funny, yeah, but I really believe that the Lord had me come back in here. And they didn't even know this person. They know nothing about this person, what they needed or anything. And so they just assumed, the person that went back in there, just assumed that the reason God would draw them there is to do something. And so when they went back in there, they said, I don't know, this might sound weird. And that's kind of a weird thing. It takes boldness to say that to somebody. But they said, is there something that you need prayed for? And of course, the person behind the counter broke down, and that was exactly what they needed something. That was a witness. My wife had a witness in her heart to just speak to somebody, to send a message to somebody. And she fought it, and she fought it, and fought it. Because you know how it is in the flesh, to just send somebody a message, a random message. It sounds like, you know, pretentious or whatever. It might make you, like you know something. But that's not my wife's heart, and that wasn't this person's heart. And so she sent the message, and then she found out afterwards that that message was exactly what that person needed to hear. It was like God was speaking to them. That's the power of God. Amen. See, it's not just going, it's going knowing that God will go with you. And that you, when you look at life as a mission field, that every chance that you go, move, you will be in some kind of opportunity, potentially, to be a witness to Jesus. The power of God will start showing up, and as if you step out, you'll start seeing the greater and greater things happening. We're called to do this in our daily lives. Praise the Lord. We're called to do this as we go. One minister that I've been listening to, I love what he said. And the guy is such an awkward man. But he said, I never, ever, ever get mad about being in a long line at a grocery store anymore. Because he's prayed for more people in the line of a grocery store maybe than anywhere else. This guy is a scientist. He says he's a scientist who believes in God, in creation. Praise the Lord. And he said every single time he's on a plane, the one that's sitting next to him is another scientist. Tell me that's not a coincidence. He said if it happened once in a while, it'd be one thing, but he's like every time. He's like, most people that fly on planes aren't scientists. But why does he always sit next to one? Because God will put you in positions, even in your daily life. See, you look at your daily life as I'm just going to my job, I'm just doing my thing. But the power of God is desiring to manifest in you. But you have to yield to it. You can't sit there and go, okay, power of God, activate. Holy Spirit, activate. It doesn't work that way. But I'll tell you what will happen when you start going before the Lord, as you go out into your day, as you go out into your life, and you start saying, Lord, I trust, I believe that you put a spirit of power on the inside of me, a spirit of love, a spirit of discipline and a sound mind. I believe that that's on the inside of me. And so I'm going to look for opportunities to use that today. I'm going to look for opportunities to yield to you. One time I was walking out of a store. This is, praise the Lord, I hope this is all good. These are just examples. One time we were on our way to church or something, and we stopped at Wilson Farms up on the, in the James, I forget what side of town this on now. No, that's not the north side. Yeah, the other side. Yeah, west side. Okay, the west side. I was at a Wilson Farms, and I was walking out. And as I was walking out, going back to the vehicle, you know, I was in a suit, ready for church and everything. And this wasn't when we had the pastor of the church. But I was walking out, and there was this kid sitting there. And on the inside, I hear, go back and give that kid money. That's just what I heard in my spirit. Real quick, it wasn't like a loud, booming voice. It was just like almost like a thought, right? Go back and give that kid money. And so I walked up to this kid. I had no idea what I was going to say. But I just looked at this kid and I said, I looked at him and instantly the words came to me. I looked at him and I said, do you believe in God? And the kid said, no. And I said, well, he believes in you. And then I handed him money and left it at that. That was an encounter. That's one of those things that God does through people that he will continue to do through people who are willing to do so. Now, for every time I've done that, I've had plenty of times where I've failed. The point isn't that I've failed. The point is that I have a heart to keep trying to do that. And that's what we're talking about. If we don't believe that there's anything backing us up, then why would we say anything? But I know this, that I could see the effect that it had on that kid. Praise the Lord. I think my wife could see it even from the car. Amen. Praise the Lord. Where are you going? Do you believe that life-changing power is going with you? Do you believe that as you go to your job every day, as you do the thing that you do every single day, as mundane as it might be, maybe you're a stay-at-home mom and that's the thing that you do. Do you believe that the power of God is there with you? Because if you're not conscious of the power of God, that the power of God wants to be active in your life, you'll never yield to it. If you don't tell yourself that God is with me, that God wants me to do things, even I'm a stay-at-home, we have stay-at-home moms in here, praise the Lord. We have moms that work in here, and that's fine too. There's always places for you to go. There's always things for you to do. Maybe you're like, you know what? I don't have any money to sow, but you have time to sow. Maybe you have words that you can sow. Maybe you can encourage someone else. How about this? When you're feeling down and out about something, why not find somebody else who's dealing with the same thing and going to them and saying, you know what? God is on your side. Yeah. The power of God will work in your life. Because I'm telling you right now, you start doing that, you'll see your trials lift. It's when we focus on our trials. I'm going to tell you the trap of Satan. I've told you a million times, and I'm going to tell you again. The trial of Satan, or the trap of Satan, the deception, the snare that the devil gets us in is this. To focus inwardly on our issues and keep our focus there. If it slows you down from what God's doing, it's deception. It's just trying to stop you. That's exactly what, and guess what? The more you do for God, the more the devil will manifest in different ways. That's not to scare you, because if you believe in the power of God, you know that the blessing comes on the back of opposition. Right. Whenever it's hard, whenever it's tough, the things that you go through, it doesn't matter. Praise the Lord. Where are you going? Praise God. Let me... real quick, we're not even going to go there. We're just going to Romans. Go ahead and just write it down. Look at it later. I'm not telling you not to look at your word. Romans 1:15 through 17. It says, so for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to a few who believe, to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Praise the Lord. What's your faith? Knowing that what you hold, what you get implanted into you, what you hear preached to you, the thing that you keep going to every morning or every afternoon or every evening, whenever you go to the Word, and you better be going to the Word. Because if you're not filling yourself with this, there is no salvation for you either. You might get saved and go to heaven, but there's no salvation for your life. How are you going to stop sinning? Go to the Word. How are you going to stop the trials? Go to the Word. How are you going to live by faith? You go to the Word. You get the Word in you and you'll start living. Stop living by the dictates of this world. You know, recently there was a thing that I believe is the future for this church. And I had opportunity to put it out there and try to make it start to be. And you know what came back to me?
No.
That's what came back to me, no. But you know when I hear it? It's opportunity. That's opportunity for God to move. Listen, if it's God, it will manifest. Nobody can say no. Because nobody can stand in the plan of God if there's somebody willing to grab onto it in faith. Praise the Lord. That doesn't mean bad things will happen to the person who said no. It just means that they might have to have angels to convince them or something else. You know what I mean? There might have to be things that happen. But the plan of God goes forward. Praise the Lord. And I know this. So when one door closes, other doors open. So if a door closes in your life, stop being foolish, looking at it and crying, oh, I'm so sad the door closed. If the door closed, who cares? Because if it's a God door, if you stay in faith, that door has to reopen. Or the ones who closed it have to get out of the way. And I don't wish that on people, but sometimes that's the truth. Sometimes, you know, the truth of the Word tells us that God's plan will be manifested in our life as we decide to do it. So, in closing, we need to ask ourselves, do we want to continue going to live the same life we always lived with the same defeat we always had? Or do we want the power of God manifested in our lives? Because the choice is up to us. Will we yield to it or will we not? Now, in the coming weeks, we're going to be looking at some other things that the power of God is for. I'm really excited about it. God has been stirring me on it. I think one of them is the power of God is to be able to do things and what that entails and stuff like that. The power of God. There is a power of God to praise. Do you know the power of God is manifested in praise? I'm just going to tell you the truth. You're in a situation, you want to cry, you know what the better answer is? Praise. Praise. Praise will break that thing out of your life. It will ruin the power of the devil. Any power he thought he had, praise will get you through it. But we're going to be talking all that in the weeks to come. Amen. Because God has given us a very real power for us to connect with, for us to activate in our life, hallelujah, as we yield to the Holy Ghost. Amen.